Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Melinda Pokola. Melinda Pokola is a resident of Beacon, New York, and a lifetime resident of Hudson Valley. She is a wife, a professional extrovert, public health specialist, horror film movie buff, outdoor enthusiast, and a passionate music head. Born in Orange County, she was raised in the small town of Washingtonville, surrounded by her very large, her mother was one of 11 children, and hilarious family. She herself has one brother, who is also her best friend, and a best friend who also counts as a sister. In 2013, Melinda married the love of her life, Grace. Melinda currently works at Hudson Valley Community Services, where she provides HIV-positive individuals with education on behavioural health. Acting therapeutic in nature, she attempts to remove the barriers that prevent these individuals from obtaining appropriate mental health care. Prior to this, Melinda was a regional trainer with Hudson Valley Community Services and trained over 1,000 service providers in the Hudson Valley region in regards to client interaction and HIV-related issues. In her earlier life, she attended college at CW Post, located in Long Island, where she obtained a bachelor's in sociology. Upon finishing college, she worked at LIAC, where she held various public health positions which all shared the same goal of HIV prevention. In between working at LIAC and Hudson Valley Community Services, Melinda held many jobs, including working at a video store as a clerk in a pharmacy that also doubled as a hardware store located in the deep woods of Massachusetts. On any given Sunday, you can find her hiking, fishing, playing the guitar, listening to great tunes, hanging out with her family and friends, throwing a party, or attempting to be Bobby Flay on the grill. Melinda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome, Linda. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellently. I'm happy to be here. This is super fun.
So am I. I need to take my hood on and take my glasses off. I'm at that age now where I need to wear glasses that, you know, for reading only, but it's getting a bit worse, and Mike's going to get there soon.
It's also hilarious. I've been enjoying Andy's gradual descent into blindness.
Thanks, Mike. That's really nice.
He needs his glasses.
I oddly feel like my glasses have made me more blind. It's like I used to actually see kind of all right, and then I got glasses, and now when I don't wear glasses, I can't see at all.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm headed.
Yeah.
So it's you know, when you start getting those, I've not been wearing my glasses, headaches. Mm. It's time to go to the opticians, isn't it? Rather than just buy these reading glasses that I have from, like,
CVS.
One of these big box stores, you know, for like $10. So, Melinda, tell me about this horror film movie buff thing you've got going on here.
I'm so sick in the head. It's really ridiculous. I love horror films. I've loved horror films since I was a kid. And I think the film, and this is still my favorite horror movie till this day, but I think the film that kind of started this obsession was Scream. Uh-huh. So this is actually my mom, who's extremely hilarious, took me and a friend, I can't remember what friend, to see Scream in theaters. And if you guys remember in the first half of Scream, like the first 20 minutes of Scream is probably...
I've never seen it.
What?
Never seen Scream.
That's not allowed.
I've never seen it either.
What?
No? Yeah.
Wow, really? With Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich? And
that's a Scream, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually says that in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow. He's like, that's a Scream, baby. It's really hilarious.
Boo.
But my mom took us to the theater, and in the first 20 minutes, it's hilarious. Because it was a rated R movie, so we were 12, so it's like you need a parental advisory to get in there. And first 20 minutes, my mom got up and left. She's like, well, I'm going to go shopping in the mall. Have fun. I was like super scared. But ever since then,
was it scary?
No, it was like, here's the thing. It's like, it was, actually, I don't think Scream was overtly scary to me. I can tell you about the movie that first, Scream was more or less super fun for me. Because it's a slasher flick. It's like that, you know, Wes Craven kind of, and it's written in the way that it's, funny. Like, there's a lot of jokes in it.
Right.
And it's, I mean, it's not funny to see people get killed on screen, but, like, the jokes are pretty hilarious.
The kind of irony, the dry humor, the black humor.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. That very dark humor.
The classic, like, they're in the house alone, and what better thing to do than go up into the attic by yourself to see what that scary noise was.
Absolutely.
Of course this is rational.
Yeah, I heard a noise there. Yeah. Let's go up with no defense mechanism whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was actually the interesting thing about Scream is they make fun of that throughout the movie. So it's kind of like satirical.
Parody. Kind of parody.
Yeah, it's kind of kind of a protocol in a sense. Yeah. But even, I think the thing I like most about horror is like that frighten, like that's, you know, the fear you get is almost like an adrenaline rush. So it's like very similar.
So concept. You're attracted to that adrenaline rush.
Indeed. And but I think if there's a movie that genuinely scared me, like scared the life out of me, the first horror movie I saw that scared the life out of me was Fire in the Sky. Came out in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. With aliens.
With the aliens.
Yeah. Well,
have you seen that, Mike?
I have. Indeed. Yeah. I'm all about aliens and have been ever since I was a kid.
Oh, my gosh. Me too.
Yeah. I had read that story as a kid in some book in the school library or something. And then when I heard they were making a movie out of it, I was like, oh, my gosh, I read that. And it was pretty scary.
So, now, am I right in saying that you dress up in scary costumes and all that?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I actually just had my 30th birthday, and I actually made all of my friends and family dress up as characters from horror movies. Like, I provided food, so it's fine, and I provided music and dance and booze and whatever, but the whole theme of the party was like kind of like a horror house, right. Haunted house kind of theme. And I had some very good friends lend me some props, and then I bought some props, and at first I think my family might have thought I was a little off my rocker. Like, my grandfather even came to this party, which was hilarious.
That's fantastic.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And the whole time I had horror movies projecting on the wall.
Awesome.
And my grandfather's over there was like, what is this crap? Like, you know? It's like super funny though. So I love doing
that. Who did you dress up as?
Actually, have you ever seen the movie Beetlejuice?
Oh, yeah.
No, I've heard of it though, yeah.
Okay, so there's a couple in the movie Beetlejuice called the Matlins. And so, Grace, my wife, and I, we went as the Matlin couple, as Adam and Barbara Matlin.
Right,
who are the living dead. I mean, in the movie, they're dead throughout the entire thing. They're like ghosts.
Okay.
So they're like paranormal in nature.
Alec Baldwin and Gina...
Is Davis?
It Gina Davis?
Gina Davis.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So I'll show you pictures afterwards. It was pretty comical. It was super fun, though. And, you know, all of my friends were really nice about it. I mean, I had there were some good costumes that showed up.
Right.
We had Michael.
Was your grandfather in costume?
No, but my mom put like these little weird glasses on him at some point in the night. They're like these glow in the dark glasses. But my mom actually came as Scream Queen herself from the Michael Myers movies from Halloween. Why is her name?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Thank you. I don't know why that was slipping for me. Jamie Lee Curtis, she came as her character from Halloween when she had the big slash in her arm. Right.
I think I say she came as a tub of yogurt.
No.
Denon.
I mean, she would probably come as she loves yogurt, so I wouldn't be surprised. But and then my brother was a character from The Walking Dead, and my dad was actually Ghostface from Scream, which was
cool.
Super fun.
Brilliant. So, yeah, so the first item you want to take, what is the first item you want to take to your Catskill cabin?
The very first item I want to take? I guess it'd be the prayer of St. Francis, right?
Right.
I've actually had that prayer in my wallet for probably close to somewhere around 10 years.
Right.
The card I actually have, well, I can show it to you later because it's not like people can see it if I take it out. But the card that I have is so beaten and so worn that you can't even see the prayer anymore. But I think I had, you know, it was a time where I was kind of stumbling through difficult issues in life. And it kind of... The words of the prayer kind of like stuck out of me in my head as words to encourage me to be the best person that I could possibly be. I mean, because that whole prayer is like finding something negative and spitting it in an optimistic way, and about trying to keep optimism upfront and also trying to put yourself in other people's shoes. And I always thought that was important, both personally to me and also like in my career, to hold some stance of non-judgment with everybody I come in contact with. So
yeah.
I've always really liked it. It's always kind of been a part of my wallet. And that's kind of why I put it on the list, because I was trying to think of things that I already do bring everywhere with me, and that's just one of them.
And one of the reasons I know you, Melinda, is because I work with you.
But
on a serious note, you did inspire me, because, you know, as a fellow trainer, you know, in my previous employment, and I warmed to your personality, because you are a caring person, and you're I think Mike's kind of similar, because he's a teacher as well. And teaching in some regards is a performance. And I think, you know, when you go in every day, you need to lift your energy, and you need to be that person that everybody's there to get information from. And, you know, I saw that in you, as you were that type of person who people naturally enjoy listening to and get information from. And you had that information, obviously. And Mike's the same. Mike was my student teacher when I was doing my master's degree.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, you know, I've always enjoyed watching Mike, because he's an excellent teacher. And so, you know, there is that commonality there. So, I think in order to do the job that you're doing, you need to be caring, obviously.
Yeah, above all, I think you have to care, and also above all, you have to not care at the same time. at the same time, you have to let a lot roll off your back, you know. Thank you for the compliment, by the way.
Now, this first song is
Oasis.
Oasis.
Live Forever.
A British song then, eh?
I love Brit rock. I love myself some British rock. Actually, when I first developed the list for this show, I think three out of the four that I originally had were British rock, and I had to scale that down a little, so I think now only two out of the four are Brits. But
so what is it about British pop that you like?
You know, I don't even know if it has to do with being British, but when I was, again, fairly young, at that quintessential point in time where you start actually listening to music, and you start actually listening to lyrics, and you start actually finding, you know, what strikes you in music, you know, up until the point where you kind of had, prior to that, it just been background noise and something to dance to as a kid. Like, Oasis was probably the first artist that I ever really listened to those lyrics and really felt connected to. And that was years ago, and I still, they're still my favorite band till this day. And the song that I picked, the reason that I picked it is because, so everybody makes this big fuss over Wonderwall, and they make a big fuss over Don't Look Back in Anger. But I've always been in the opinion that Oasis has a lot more to offer than those songs. And so this song actually, Live Forever, was their second single ever off of their very first album, Definitely Maybe, before the whole What's the Story, Morning Glory phase. And so I don't know if it's exactly Britpop, but it's definitely Oasis themselves that have always kind of started paving the way for me as far as musical interest. So
it is really positive. I found that when they wrote this song, actually Noel Gallagher had begun working on it in 1991. He was working for a building company and had his foot crushed by a pipe in an accident. So he's in a storeroom, has time to write some songs. And at the time, he was a fan of Nirvana, and the grunge movement was going on. And he was finding that groups like Nirvana, you know, Nirvana in particular had a song, I Hate Myself and Want to Die. And Noel Gallagher's response was, you know, kids don't need to be hearing that nonsense. And he said, you know, let's make it a little more positive and be happy to happy for what we have and make every day count. I thought that was really compelling.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got and grows, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain? I just soaked you to the bone. Maybe I just want to fly, want to live but don't want. I said maybe I don't.
That was Live Forever by Oasis. Really fine choice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Regardless of what you think of their front man who needs a haircut, they are a fine band. And they will, I think they'll get back together again and end up doing a world tour again.
I mean, if they did it, it would only be for the money. Because those two brothers, they just cannot work together. It just doesn't work. I mean, I think, so if you follow, like, NME, which is, like, an alternative press magazine and some other...
New Musical Express?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so, NME?
Yeah, and so over the last couple months, there's been a lot of talk about Oasis getting back together. And Liam Gallagher is like, yeah, we're going to get back together. And Noel Gallagher's like, no, that's not happening.
Fantasist.
Yeah. So, and he even came out and said, he's like, if I did it, it would be for the money and I'm not hurting right now. Because, you know, he's doing really well with High Flying Birds, his other band. So.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I've got one thing in common with them.
Okay.
They were originally spotted by their manager. I think was it Mark McGee or something, Frank McGee or something. The guy, a Scottish guy, anyway, right? Who was their manager? Don't know if he still is their manager, but he spotted them in a place, a music venue in Glasgow called King Tut's Wawa Hut.
Oh wow!
And
King Tut's Wawa Hut sounds awesome.
I played King Tut's Wawa Hut.
Did you?
Yeah, twice.
Look at you.
So Oasis and me have played the same venue. So there you are.
We should start a band, Andy.
Yeah, we should.
Every time I find out somebody plays an instrument, I'm like, let's start a band.
Yeah, I've never played an instrument in my life. Mike's played an instrument.
I play the trombone.
Oh, so we could make a ska band. We could start like a ska band.
I love
like,
ska.
What ska?
Ska is kind of like...
Chicago?
Oh, okay. It's kind of like a... It's almost like, I don't know, can you explain it?
It's like Mighty Mighty Boss Tones and Saint Ferris. It's like, never had to knock on wood. It's like, they utilize all those brass instruments.
Yeah. It's very toe-tapping. Many people love the beat. It's just, it's just a fantastic rhythm.
It's ska
music.
To dance
to. I love it. Mm-hmm. Keeping on the subject of music, you want to take a guitar with you?
Ah, yes, to the cabin I would definitely bring my guitar.
What kind of guitar is it?
It's actually, like, I don't actually believe in buying really expensive guitars. I know that a lot of people are, like, into Taylor and Fender and all that, which, if I could have a Taylor, I would. But, I mean, I just think you can produce a lot of great sound out of an affordable guitar as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, the kind of a guitar, actually, I have to make a shout-out to this guitar because I actually just bought a new guitar. For the longest time, I had this guitar that was beautiful. I mean, my roommates in college bought it for me for my 21st birthday, I want to say.
It's getting more distant as time goes on, you know. She's like, 21st? Was it 25?
I know. It's really crazy. It's really crazy to me that college was however many years ago, you know. So, they bought it for me for my birthday, and they all pitched in because somehow at some party, my guitar that I had since I was 15, which was a little guitar, I needed a real guitar anyways, had broken, like the neck had snapped.
Awesome.
And I was super depressed about it, and I don't know who broke it, and I never found out who broke it, but it wasn't me, so it's kind of I'm going to blame it on somebody who was like, that I wasn't part of my friend group, who just showed up, you know.
So this is the opportunity, if anyone's listening, and they broke the neck of Melinda's guitar, then you need to own up, you need to repent and get it off your soul.
Maybe that's why they bought her one.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Who was it motivated the getting together of the funds?
We can figure this out right now. We got this.
Yeah.
The person's listening like, no.
I know.
Somebody's got beads of sweat forming in their head.
Oh, my God. Planning their getaway.
Oh, dear.
They bought, and so I had that guitar that they bought me for love. I still have that guitar, but the neck is starting to bend out on it.
You've got a neck issue, haven't you?
I know, and I have a personal neck issue too, like my own neck.
Yeah.
Forget guitar necks, my own neck is always like...
Maybe a metaphor for something, the neck issue.
Hmm.
You know, I don't know, I'm not a spiritualist, I don't know.
So I actually bought a new one recently, and it was only $100, and it was from this company called R.W. Jameson, and they specialize in thin line guitars. So the actual guitar, is way thinner than usual, which makes it easy for me because I have like these small like raptor arms that have always made it difficult, you know. And so I like can play it so much easier and
excellent.
And it's beautiful, and it's an acoustic electric, so it's a plug-in. And so yeah, and it's like one of the best guitars I've ever owned, and it's just $100 guitar. So I mean,
nice.
Yeah.
You know, my friend George, who's been on our show, and he actually played the guitar on his guitar on the show. It was a Yamaha, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's like you, it's a trusted guitar. He's had this guitar; it's been everywhere with him. You know, it's probably if the guitar could talk, it would have, you know, some stories to tell. But for his 40th birthday, we all chipped in money, and we bought him a silent guitar. You know, and I'd never heard of this thing. And basically, you plug it in, and you plug in headphones, and you can sit in the house and play it, but nobody can hear the guitar being played.
Nice.
So you're not interrupting people watching the TV or, you know, in a small house or something, you know?
Yep.
And I thought that was quite ingenious.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure he's still got it because George keeps things like that, but and he'll do his best to make sure it's still in pristine condition. And I'm sure he still uses it, you know? But fantastic instrument.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, technology comes a long way.
So would you write some songs if you were in the cabin? Or would you just
play
some
songs? Yeah. I would probably, like, try my best at writing. Like, I've written a bunch of songs, like, over time. None of them I don't know if are very good or not. But if I play them, people sometimes like them. So it's okay.
Nice.
But if I were alone in a cabin, like, I'm sure something would come over me to write a little ditty or a little jam
or
something.
Yeah, you'd be inspired by the...
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I write songs about things that are less important than being alone in nature. So, like, stupid things, you know?
Now, come back to the horror movies. If you were in the cabin on your own, would you start letting your mind wander and go...
What was that noise?
What was that noise? And there's like, I'm sure there's zombies outside and...
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Like, if I were in a cabin in the middle of the woods alone at night, 100%. Which is weird, because if I was in a tent alone in the middle of the night in the woods, I wouldn't actually think that.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, the house I've got in the mountains, you know, it's... Mike's been in there scores of times. And, you know, if you're in there on your own at night... Then you hear all different things, you know, coyotes, owls, you know, and that doesn't bother me a jot. But I went camping with Mike, and he had his tent, and I had my tent, and all lined up, and I'm thinking to myself, what if a bear comes over here and just, like, mauls me in this tent?
Andy, keep it down, I'm trying to sleep.
So I'm the opposite.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Yeah, I feel like most people either are inclined to one over the other. I mean, cabins in the woods are beautiful. I actually spend a week every summer with my wife's family in Minnesota at this lake cabin resort, which is beautiful.
Ooh.
But you're not exactly alone. I mean, the whole family, like the extended family goes, and it's always like a really fun time. But there, I mean, maybe because there's so many cabins around and so many people, you always feel like super protected and safe. But I do love cabins. But I mean, yeah, I would absolutely just like hear noises. I would like that coyote that you heard, I would kidnap that for protection.
You know? Come here, little boy.
Can I interest you in a squirrel?
Yeah. Nah, I've got you. Ha ha. Now, talking of guitar, I've got some quiz questions here for you.
Oh, boy.
All right. Do you know the names of people who construct and repair guitars?
The names of people who construct?
Yeah, what's their title?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I would go with carpenter, but probably not, right? What is it?
Mike, do you know?
I don't. I got nothing.
No.
No.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this properly. Luthiers.
Oh, like luthiers.
Oh, luthiers or luthiers?
Luthiers.
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 Oh, wow.
All right. Now, in 2005, the most expensive guitar was sold at auction. I'm going to ask you how much it was. And it was a Fender Stratocaster that was signed by musical legends Bryan Adams, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney, Jimmy Page, and Brian May. How much do you think it went for?
Go ahead. What do you think?
I was going to say somewhere like... I can't decide if I want to go with millions or hundreds of thousands. You go first.
1.2 million.
You think 1.2 million?
Probably more.
I'm going to go with 1.5.
1.5 million? 2.7 million.
Oh. Holy smokes.
There you go.
You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Come on.
Now, one more thing I wanted to say about guitars before we move on. Now, we're talking about people who are, you know, like a really... protective of their guitars, and you know, they have guitars for years, and so this is my baby and all that.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
In 2001, guitarist Chris Black actually married his guitar.
Oh.
Listen to this name.
Interesting. I wonder if he's an objectophile.
Listen to the name. Brenda the Fender.
Oh my god.
Brenda has been Chris's loyal instrument for over 40 years. So Chris wanted to express his commitment and gratitude.
How interesting. You know, that's actually a thing. I watched a documentary about a woman who married, I think it was the London Bridge or something of that nature. And then I saw this. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, it's super interesting. The legit terminology for them is objectophiles.
Is that right?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. You should look it up. It's a really good documentary. It's interesting. It's super interesting. Also, I was watching this show called, what was the name of it? Strange Addiction. My Strange Addiction.
Oh, okay.
You ever seen it? And the guy in the show is like in a relationship with his car. So I mean,
kissing his car and all that.
More than that, yeah.
What?
Yeah. So I mean, but you know, I mean, to each their own, you know.
Yes.
Marry your car. That's good.
All right. Well, let's move on from that objectification of the guitars, and we'll move on to.
But yes, I love my guitar, but not that much.
Yeah, but I won't do that. No. Anyway.
Oh,
now, your next song.
Okay.
It's by another British guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I really love British men, I guess. I just love Brit music. I don't know what that's about.
I'm from Britain. I get it. You know, I do. I can appreciate it, obviously. And Peter Gabriel is a fantastic musician.
He is.
Performer. So the song is Salisbury Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. What is it about this song that you like?
So,
why is it going with you?
You know, I feel like I grew up with this song.
For
I
you and
like...
the coyote to sit and listen to and rock, matching rocking chairs.
Yeah, indeed. Me and my pet coyote. I'll call him Odie for short. I feel like I grew up with this song. It's a song that it's like always, and it's not a song that's necessarily always been extremely popular on the radio, but it's just, it's I guess popular enough that most people would know it. And it's also, the lyrics of it, I, you know, have always found to be, again, really intriguing and really interesting. I mean, it's hard to explain, but I think that for me, this specific song, kind of right along the lines of Oasis, like I started paying attention to lyrics of it like super early on. But just Peter Gabriel himself has had so many songs that I just identify with and love.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has been one I think that's multi-generational. I mean, the song came out in, I think, 1977 or 78. And it's kind of a song that's still played on the radio pretty...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
In rotation, like, pretty widely. And I think that it's kind of that, you know, it's that specific brand of music that is really hard to find anymore, which is, you know, that whole singer-songwriter, which I actually didn't know the genre was called that until my best friend pointed it out. She's like, yeah, like singer-songwriter genre. I was like, what? That's a genre, just singer song. But and so I had always called it folk music, I guess, in my head. But that specific brand of like kind of yesteryear
right.
sound, like Van Morrison and and all of that. That's just kind of what I was raised
it's
on.
It's funny you should say that, because, you know, he was talking about, and I was just thinking that there, because, mm-hmm. you know, he's writing a song about Salisbury Hill, and, you know, one of my favourite songs of Van Morrison is Coney Island.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh, wonderful about, song.
You know, it's just a brilliant song.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Peter Gabriel is one of those, these characters, he's just, he's bigger than life, you know, he's such a humanitarian, brilliant, brilliant lyricist, brilliant, you know, if I could just be half the guy he was, I would be delighted with what I've achieved, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And actually, there's a lyric in this song, and I think, you know, one of the lyrics in that song, like, speaking of his lyrical ability, is that, and I think a big reason I picked it is because, like, it could be kind of interpreted in so many different ways. And that's the lyric. He says, watched by empty silhouettes who close their eyes but still can't see. No one taught them etiquette. It's such an interesting line. Like, I always thought that was a super interesting line in the song. Like, that could be interpreted in so many different ways. You know, it could be about people watching him, or you know, just
what do you interpret from it?
I mean, I think it, for me, it kind of stands to be about individuals who don't read any deeper than the surface. Like, you know, as far as you know, watch by empty silhouettes who close their eyes and can see, no one taught them etiquette. So, and then at the end of that line, he actually says, "Today I will show another me." And so I feel like it's about people reading you the wrong way.
Right.
And, like,
right.
not looking below the surface and only seeing that, like, surface you, which I actually feel like is really in tune to me a lot of the time. Mm. I feel like I could probably put on – I feel like I have so many multifaceted aspects to my personality. You know, sometimes I could be articulate, and other times I could be, like, really ridiculous and, like, semi, you know, like, confusing to talk to, you know. And I just often feel like that specific lyric I always thought about, like – I wish that I could show myself all the aspects, people all the aspects of myself in one meeting. But, you know, I feel like you come off to one person one way and one person the other way. And it's kind of difficult to come back from your original standpoint of like how that first impression, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, I'm sure there's like some people in the world who like think I am this like amazing, smart individual, but then there's other people who probably think I'm somewhat of a dingbat. I don't know, you know? So, or who think, like, you know, my interests lie in one area but not another area, you know?
I know exactly.
Yeah.
Shall we listen to the song?
Yeah, let's do it.
Brilliant.
Connection I should cut.
listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7. That was Peter Gabriel. What song?
Salisbury Hill.
Salisbury Hill.
You've never heard of that? Come on!
I've heard the song, but I just never understood the lyrics or the title or anything like that. I just know that tune. Bum, 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 bum.
That's the only thing. Super catchy.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously catchy. Yeah.
If the title of the song was bum, 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 I'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that song. Now, Melinda, the next item you'd like to bring to the Catskills is a six-pack of beer. What kind of beer?
I'm so gross. Probably, it would probably be like Miller High Life.
Oh, that is
gross.
Wow.
Let's leave now then. You've been listening. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Good night.
I had I thought maybe a quiz question. I'm really kind of distraught right now. How many calories do you think are in a pint of beer?
In a pint of beer? Probably close to like 100, 150, something like that. Mm-hmm.
300?
Miller High Life, if it's something light, it might be 100, yeah. But a normal pint of beer, 240.
Yeah?
Yeah. Thought that was interesting. Beer, you know, could have resulted in the dawn of civilization. Comes from Iraq, Egypt, an ancient drink. Third most consumed beverage in the world behind water and tea.
Is that
interesting.
Right?
It
is.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't shock me at all, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, I mean, if I'm willing to bring it to a cabin by myself, it's pretty popular concoction they did there. So,
the next song you'd like to bring is "Little Bird" by Annie Lennox.
Yeah, it's a great tune. I love Annie. I mean, I'll make this real simple. She is the ultimate diva. I love Annie Lennox. I love her lyrics. I love her style. She supports the same things I support. I mean, she's a big fighter for the HIV cause. And I've loved her since I was a kid. She's my ultimate. And I still love her. New CD was off the chain, too. I really, really love her. So, and this is such one of my favorite songs by her.
And she's Scottish.
I know. What is with me?
All the singers are British.
Every
yeah,
single
she's
one.
Scottish.
Even Bush. Yep.
Wow. And I tried to change that. Oh, well. I mean, it is what it is, right? Mm-hmm.
They make good music in the UK.
She's from Aberdeen. She's from the East Coast.
Yeah, I did know that. That's so funny. Yeah, and the other thing was I thought it was essential to have a female on this list because I think, you know, female artists are often underappreciated. And I want to pick one that I thought was super fierce. So
excellent. Yeah. Now, as you said, she's one of these people who she fights for a remarkable amount of causes, chiefly HIV and AIDS cause. I remember at one point, in I think it was 2009, she was wearing this T-shirt all the time.
HIV positive.
Yes,
shirt.
And that's so brave, you know, and really, and she took the Pope to task, and you know, she took a lot of leaders to task on, you know, their condemnation of like condoms and stuff like that, and. She's such a pioneer, not just for that, but for humanitarian causes.
Absolutely.
And that, I think that's just remarkable.
She's a warrior.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She really is. She really is. Mm-hmm.
The clearest melody, yeah.
That was the unmistakable, remarkable woman who is Annie Lennox.
Indeed. Indeed.
Excellent choice, Melinda.
Thank you. You know, that's from one of my favorite albums of all time, actually, that song. It's from her album entitled Diva from the 90s. And has, like, I was just saying this in the break, but it has all of these wonderful songs on it. Some of the most known ones are Walking on Broken Glass and the song Why and Cold and Money Can't Buy It. Just a tour de force kind of album. So I thought I thought she was an essential piece of my life.
She's Scottish, you know. So you can't really go wrong with a Scottish woman.
So, Melinda, before we get to our last song, there's one more item you'd like to bring, and that's a Bear Grylls knife slash hatchet. So can you describe this thing to us?
So, I mean, it's funny because I have a Bear Grylls knife and a hatchet, and I couldn't decide which one would be more appropriate for a cabin. But I probably would go with the Bear Grylls knife because it has a fire starter on the end of it.
Nice.
So, you know, it's got a couple of different uses there, and so I think it would be handy, you know.
You're frothing at the mouth, mate?
A little bit.
to throw it at strangers at the window or whatever.
Now, would you actually use it?
I have used it on camping trips before.
Well, what have you used it to do?
I've thrown it at trees. That was fun. I've whittled sticks.
Mike? You hear that? You know, when you get a knife, you need to use it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Andy's just bringing up the point that I have this gorgeous knife that I am keeping pristine for the opportunity.
Opportunity for...
he said he's got a Gerber knife, right? And I said, Mike, you've not even used it. And he said, I have used it. What did you use it for?
I don't remember. I did.
He's like, he said, I cut sausage with it.
Oh, yeah, sausage. And, yeah, that's right. Snacks.
Yeah. I think the thing that's come in handy most so far, because we do a lot of camping and a lot of hiking. I always bring it with me hiking. You never know. I throw it in the bottom of the backpack. But as far as, like, camping, like, one time we had a big, rainstorm, and we had to put up, like, a tarp right away, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. And they came in handy to cut branches, cut ropes real quick, and throw that thing up, you know, to make sure we're covered. So it does come in handy.
Excellent.
Just a quick little interjection there. Do you ever watch Man vs. Wild?
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
What about Dual Survivor?
I have never watched Dual Survivor.
Cody Lundin, Dave Canterbury. It's amazing.
Okay, I need to check it out.
And who's the other guy?
Cody Lundin, Dave Canterbury, and the new guy?
Survivor Man.
Oh, Les Stroud.
Les Stroud.
Oh, yeah, cool.
He's awesome, too.
I need to watch it. Bear Grylls is everything I want to be in a human.
Nice.
I've read his book.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, he climbed Mount Everest.
Yes, he did. He's that's one of his many expeditions. I don't think the show is as honest as, you know, you'd like it to be, though.
Yeah, that's why you need to watch Les Stroud, because Les Stroud is real.
Okay.
I don't mean he's like... you know,
he's definitely an outdoor extremist.
I don't mean Bear Grylls is like a zombie or anything, but you know, but he doesn't go to a hotel.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Pick him up at night. Yeah, they definitely pick him up at night.
You know, Les Stroud actually and Cody Lundin actually stay in the wilderness.
Yeah. Melinda, your last song is "Come Down" by Bush.
Yeah.
Why "Come Down"?
Because every time I hear this song, it's like the first time I ever heard it. Like that opening, like the guitar piece, like everything about this song is as if I'm hearing it for the first time again. And I think that when that happens, it's an important song and a fantastic song. And I also think, again, this era of music, you know, this was not the same time as Oasis, but maybe a little bit.
It was the same time.
It was like
91, 92.
Yeah, it was like kind of like towards the end. Like it was like they're kind of, they're like mixed up at the same time. But I think definitely Oasis came right before Bush, because Oasis was very much that post-grunge, and I think grunge was definitely already done by the time Bush came on the scene. Mm. They're like, I mean, if there is an album that I played on repeat in my bedroom during my teens wallowing, it was 16 Stone.
Yes, yeah. I had the same album, one of the first ones that I bought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's listen to it, Come Down by Bush.
Take your place. No, I'm not.
That was Come Down by Bush. Great song. Memorable. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely superb song. Yeah. Even just now when we're playing it, I like felt that kind of like electric shock in my skin.
Yes,
you know?
We had to pick her up off the ground as she was playing air guitar. now that she's brushed her hair and she's back. That's fantastic. Now, Melinda, we've run out of time.
Bummer. This is so fun.
I know. So we're going to have to leave it, unfortunately. And I say this to many guests, but I truly mean it. We could sit here and speak for another couple of hours easy.
But, I agree with that. I think we definitely could.
Yeah.
So.
And it's been a pleasure listening to your stories and chatting with you. Really has. So I really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks. It's my pleasure to be here with you guys. This has been a fun experience. It's definitely you know, something I haven't done before. And it's great. I want to do it again. Have me on next year.
Now, before we go, we like to ask our guests one last question.
Okay.
And that question is, Mike.
Melinda, how do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
But if you did.
if I do drink it, like, and that's, if I'm in need of caffeine rush, I take it black.
Black coffee.
My type of woman. black. I drink mine black with a little bit of sugar. Dark roast.
It sounds delicious.
Actually, I started putting honey in my coffee.
Oh, that's really interesting.
It's really nice, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Try to, like, crossing some boundaries there.
Try to cut down the sugar, you know, try to get the old waste in.
Nice.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Hi, I'm Melinda Pokola, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC, thanks.